When I read to you from God's word, you hear it. You receive it. You understand it. Do you understand that the unregenerate person, when they hear the words of the word of God, all they hear is gobbledygook?
This is season 11 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an Orthodox Wesleyan point of view. God's holy word is essential to our teaching, so let's get into God's word right now.
Now please remain standing for the reading of God's holy word from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verses, we're going to read 1 through 9 and then verses 18 through 25. Let us hear the word of the Lord for us today. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, we're continuing in our study of the gospel according to St. Matthew. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the parables of Jesus, some of the parables that Jesus used to explain the kingdom of God to his disciples and to us. We're going to be looking at why Jesus gave these teachings in parables and how they were used to bring people, even us, into the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, your truth is revealed to us in the pages of Scripture. You have preserved for us these words that we may come to know your saving grace in Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, to dwell in us and instruct us in the ways of God. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I wonder how many of you know what this is. Do any of you know? People who live right here in town should know what this is, because this caused a great deal of consternation a few weeks ago. A lot of uproar, a lot of, feelings on both sides. I'll tell you what it says. It says on the front, it's a 3x5 card, index card. It says, when the time is right, I, the Lord, will make it happen. And it says Isaiah 60, verse 22. On the back of the card, it says, you are enough, trust in him. And then there's an email address, and it says, for questions. It's a very simple card. It's a very simple thing to do. When I got this in my mailbox, actually, we saw the girls who put them in the mailboxes. Aaron said, I think somebody just put some in our mailbox. So we went out and we looked at it, and I said, this is what it is. I said, this is really cool. This is really great. This is somebody who loves the Lord enough to sow seed. Somebody who has found joy in Christ and wants others to share in that joy. And they're going about it in a way, I think, you know, she had to sit down. She had to write these things out by hand. She had to walk up and down the sidewalks of Pedertown and put them in people's mailboxes. There's two different ways that these were received. They were received either the way that I received them, which was, this is really cool. This is something good. But some people saw this as an affront. Some people saw this as a threat. Some people got very upset that somebody had actually put this in their mailbox to, and I will use their words, to shove your beliefs down my throat, right? Well, let me ask you something. If you go to a restaurant and you get a steak and it is so good, they baste it in butter and it's got that nice crust on it, and it's perfectly rare on the inside. I like it rare, you know, nice and tender. And I mean, it's just the best steak you ever had. Would you tell people about it? Of course you would. Especially if it was somebody that you knew who loved steak. You tell somebody about it because that's what we do. When we find joy in something, we tell people about it. When there's some movie that we saw that was really good, we tell people about it. When there was a show on TV or something on Netflix or some binge-worthy show, we tell people about it. And when we find the joy of eternal life in Jesus Christ, we should tell people about it. And that's what this girl was doing. Well, she's not shoving it down people's throats. It says, there's nothing accusatory on here. There's nothing in here that says anything about sin or hell or anything else. But just the fact that it says Isaiah 60:22, it came from that book. And then some people started saying, well, what if you had gotten a card in your mailbox that said, Hail Satan? I would have thrown it away. Because I know who I serve. Because I know who matters to me. I know what I believe. And I don't see that as a threat. My God is way bigger than a 3x5 index card. But here's the point. The girl received the word of God in her heart, and she wanted to share her joy with her friends and neighbors. Whether she did it properly or not, it's beside the point. She sat down, she wrote out these cards by hand, she delivered them to people in her neighborhood. What was she doing? She was sowing seed. And just like the soil in this parable, some of the seed found good soil, some of it did not. But she sowed it, and we can learn a lot from this girl and her faith. Now, like I said, we're going to be spending the next couple of weeks looking at the parables of Jesus this week and the next 2 weeks after that. So rather than start right with the parable of the sower, which, by the way, it's a very familiar parable. We all know it. We've all heard it, right? I don't think there's anybody who hasn't. Or if this is your first time hearing it, awesome. But we're going to start instead with the part we didn't read. Now, the lectionary doesn't include verses 10 through 17, but I think they make a very good introduction to this these next couple of weeks where we're going to be looking at parables. Why does Jesus speak in parables? Why does he teach in parables? Well, the disciples in verse 10 came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? They wanted to know too. Why does Jesus speak in parables? Why doesn't he just tell us plainly what he's talking about? In verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He says, it has been given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. That means our understanding is not something that comes from us. It's something that comes from God. It has been given to us by God. We talked about the new birth, about regeneration, about how we must be born again. Okay? The disciples wanted to know why Jesus spoke in parables. He says, well, the ability to understand the gospel is given by God. To you, it's been given. To others, it is not. Now, what does that mean? Well, some people have experienced the new birth and some people have not. And again, it's not something that we go out and do on our own. It's something that God accomplishes for us. Okay? So, John chapter 3, Jesus talks about the new birth in this way. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot. It is impossible. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you've been born again. So guess what? If you've seen the kingdom of God, you've been born again. It's as simple as that. Now, I've heard preachers go on and on about, oh, the new birth is something that's so radical, you should know exactly when it happened in your life. And for some people, that might be true. For me, it's not. I know when I became a Christian, but I don't know when I was reborn. Maybe I was reborn when I was baptized at 4 months old. But I didn't become a Christian until I was 39 years old. Okay? Does that mean that that the new birth didn't have an effect? No, of course it had an effect. I understood it. I could see it. I was raised in a church, I believed it, but my faith was shallow. It was like the faith of those who the seed fell on the rocky soil. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But God gave me that new birth. Now, if you don't remember when you were born again, don't fret, okay? Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, all right? Let me ask you this. Do you remember the day when you were born? I don't mean do you remember your birthday. I mean, do you remember the actual process of being born? If anybody remembers that, I'm sorry for you. That's pretty tragic, kind of traumatic. The fact of the matter is we don't know when God gives us that new birth, but he gives it to us in his time. Okay? And unless he does, we can't see it. We can't understand it. And he gives it to us in a perfect time when he knows that we will receive it. So he says in verse 12, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so that's what it means to be reborn in the Spirit. That's what it means to have your eyes spiritually opened, because we're born spiritually blind. All right. He says in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. When we are given the gospel and we understand it, we take in more of God's word to nurture the gospel so that it may grow in our hearts. Without the ability to see the kingdom of God, the word of God has no meaning. We reject the gospel, we reject the Bible, and no further sustenance can be given to us or will be given to us. As Jesus said, you know, do not sow your pearls before swine. John chapter 15 and verses 1 and 2, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If it doesn't bear fruit, he takes it away. Why isn't it bearing fruit? Because it's not part of the kingdom. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Pruning is a process of cutting away the dead stuff so that that which is still alive can bear fruit and more abundantly. Verse 13, he says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And so what he's describing here is the state of humanity all throughout the history of humankind. All throughout history, mankind's rebellion makes us blind and deaf to the truth of God. It's a conscious and intentional ignorance of God's word, which God honors. You don't want to believe it? Then don't. But it's the truth. How do I know that this is historically? How do I know that mankind has always been, well, I've read the Bible, for one thing. It starts in chapter 3 of Genesis. That's when the rebellion starts. Everything's very good at the end of chapter 2, and at the beginning of chapter 3, it all goes to pot, you know? So in Deuteronomy chapter 29, this is Moses speaking to the people. Just before they go into the promised land, he won't even go into the promised land because he ran afoul of God's promise. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, you have seen it with your eyes. You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt. And to all his servants and to his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. He says, the Lord hasn't given it to you yet, but he will. Jeremiah chapter 5, before the exile, right before the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon, Jeremiah writes this: hear this, O foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but see not, who have ears but hear not. Do you not fear me, declares the Lord? Do you not tremble before me? He's speaking to the people of Israel, to the people who are supposed to believe in him. After the exile, when they're in exile in Babylon, Ezekiel writes these words. God says to him, son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see but see not, who have ears to hear but hear not, for they are a rebellious house. They have eyes to see, they have ears to hear, but they choose not to hear or see. Now verses 14 and 15 are cited from Isaiah chapter 6. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is a promise that God made to Isaiah. Now, all the way back in chapter 6 of Isaiah, right, we read about Isaiah's calling. We read about his throne room experience, okay? And what he experiences in the throne room of God goes like, he sees the holy God sitting on the throne, and he says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So one of the seraphim that were serving God flew to him with a live coal from the altar and touched his lips. And he says, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And then Isaiah hears the word of the Lord. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Isaiah, here am I, send me. There's a radical transformation that happens, see? And this is what God says to him. It's not a pleasant message. Here I am, send me. All right. Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and then make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. That's the message that God gave to Isaiah. And I'm sure Isaiah said, awesome. God very rarely gives good messages to his prophets to give to the people. Very rarely does God ever say to the people through a prophet, good job. You're doing great. Keep it up. No, it's usually to correct them. It's usually to bring them back in line. So the more we ignore God's word, the harder our hearts become and the less and less we see and hear God's word. We become callous to sin. I play this ukulele. Sometimes I play the guitar. And when I first started playing, the strings would hurt my fingers. But the more I play, I get calluses on my fingers so that I can't feel them anymore. Let me tell you, my grandfather, he had calluses on his fingers. He could probably like poke his finger through steel, you know, from playing the guitar. And sin is like that because it hurts at first, but we keep it up and eventually our hearts become calloused to sin and to God's word. Verses 16 and 17, then he says, but now he's given all this bad news. This is why all the people I'm speaking to them in parables, they don't see, they don't hear, and they won't because they haven't been reborn. But then he says, but blessed are your eyes, speaking to his disciples, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. He says, do you understand how blessed you are? You understand what I'm talking about. You hear these words. When I read to you from God's word, you hear it. You receive it. You understand it. Do you understand that the unregenerate person, when they hear the words of the word of God, all they hear is gobbledygook, right? I think that's a theological word, gobbledygook. But they don't understand it, and they come up with every excuse in the world not to believe it. Well, this is an old book. It's written by men, and it was written down. God didn't write this book, and it's been translated so many different times. And it's like a game of whisper down the lane, where you know the first person says something, but by the time it gets to the end, it's corrupted. And can we really know what this says? And this has been changed so many times. All that is wrong. All that is wrong. If you understand the history of the Bible, you also understand that we have ancient manuscripts that corroborate everything that we have in our modern Bibles. And so we can trust that this is the Word of God. We can trust because He has supernaturally preserved this Word for us. And we have manuscripts that date to be 200 years before Christ that say that the Old Testament that we have in our hands is the Old Testament they had 200 years before Christ. We have manuscripts dating to the first century within a couple of decades of the death of Christ that corroborate what we have in our New Testament, that what we have is accurate. But what it doesn't say is it true? That takes faith. And that's the problem that a lot of people have. They look at the Bible and they go, it doesn't jibe with my lifestyle, and so it's not true. I don't believe it. It's very easy to do that. It's very easy to choose what we have going on in our lives over the things of God. So Jesus assures his disciples that though the word is kept from those who reject it, they have heard it. They have received it with joy. They are the ones in the parable with the good soil in their hearts. The prophets, he says, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. The writer of Hebrews tells us this, that these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, and greeted them from afar. They knew that they were going to come true because God promised it. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Now, all that is set up. Why Jesus gives us parables? Because he could tell us plainly, or he could tell us in a parable. And you know what? Those who have unregenerate hearts are not going to understand it either way. They're not going to get it. So he tells us these parables so that we who have been reborn can understand it, and we do. And it makes it a lot easier. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to look at this. We're going to kind of go back and forth, all right? We're going to analyze the parable using Jesus' words because he tells us at the end what the parable means. And so every verse in the beginning part of this reading has a corroborating verse in the end, okay? So he says, he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, in Matthew's gospel, he doesn't actually explain what he means by the sower or sowing the seed. But in Luke's gospel, we read this. The parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The word of God. The word of God is the seed. This is the seed that we sow. That means when we go out into the world and tell people about Jesus Christ, we don't have to do any more than to give them the word of God. What did this girl do? She wrote a verse, a single verse, part of a verse from Isaiah, but she got the point across. And a lot of people received it with joy. And so, Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. So again, the seed is the word. Who is the sower? Well, at this moment, Jesus is the sower. Jesus came from heaven to give the word of God to the people, to sow the word to all the people, and to give it to everybody. Now listen, I've heard objections to the faith that go something like this. What happens to people in, like, say, Bora Bora, who have never heard the word of God, who don't know about Jesus Christ? And my immediate reaction to that is that your objection to why you don't believe? Because you've heard it. You've heard the word of God. We'll talk about the people from Bora Bora later, but the fact of the matter is this. That God has raised faithful men and women to go into all the world and to preach the word of God. And you would be very hard-pressed to find anywhere in the world where Jesus Christ has not been preached. Even Bora Bora, okay? I think about the people who went down to Ecuador, right? Jim Elliot, Nate Saint. They went down to Ecuador to give the gospel to the Alca tribe. The Alca people were killing oil workers, right? They were killing them with spears. And so they went down to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, guess what? The Alca people killed them too. But that didn't stop the word of God being taught down there. In fact, it was Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of Jim Elliot, who was killed, who went back down, and she met a girl from the Alca tribe and with her help translated the entire Bible into their language so they could understand it and preached it to them. To the people who killed her husband, to the people who left her a widow, she preached the gospel. And today, the Alca tribe, they're all Christians. Because of that, there is an island in the South Pacific where people keep trying to go there and they end up getting killed by the people who live there. And people keep saying, don't go to this island, right? There was a boy in 2016 who went and he was killed, but not before he made contact with them. He did manage to give them the gospel. They've heard the gospel at this point. The point is this. God keeps raising up faithful men and women to preach the gospel in every corner of the world. So that argument about the people in Bora Bora who have never heard the gospel, it's invalid. They've heard it. We've all heard it. So, Jesus is the sower. Now, verse 4. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And then he explains it like this in verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. What is the wayside? The wayside is a path, okay? A footpath. And what is a footpath like? It's packed hard from feet trampling it down, okay? And sometimes it's dirt and sometimes it's gravel, but either way, it's hard and there's no way for the seed to take root in that soil. And so the path is packed hard by many trampling on it. These are those who have their hearts hardened to God. They reject God's word outright before it can take root. These are the people who, as soon as you say the Bible says, they immediately stop listening because they refuse to believe the word of God. They have not been reborn. Their eyes have not been opened. Their ears are not unstopped. They are blind to the ways of God. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes this: "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." And so he's saying, don't be like that. Be receptive of the word of God. Let the word of God instruct you. So that's the people, the seed that falls on the path. Then in verse 5, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. You ever seen rocky soil where weeds grow up very quickly, but they're usually dead weeds because as soon as it stops raining for a minute, they stop growing? He explains it this way, verse 20. "But he that received the word, the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it." You might meet somebody who hears the word of God and they're very like, yeah, this is awesome, this is great. "But hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." And that was me. I was like that when I was in the church, when I was a kid. I had no roots. I had no foundation. My foundation was very shallow. And so when I went to college and I heard all these things, people saying to me, well, you know, they believe one thing and you believe something else, so who can tell what's the truth? And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense to me. I don't doubt that. And something bad would happen and I'd be like, well, God, where were you? You know, and there's also another place where these people can exist, and that is in the prosperity gospel. See, rocky ground has some soil and seed can germinate there, but without the ability to find nourishment, the plant cannot survive times of dryness. And the person ultimately rejects the word of God because they face a trial or tribulation and they wonder why God has not prospered them. Prosperity gospel, you know these names, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, T.D. Jakes, they all preach the same thing, that if you believe enough that God will prosper you, he'll make you rich and you'll have a jet and a yacht and a mansion. The gospel promises a mansion, but not in this life. Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." The gospel is not about prospering in this life. The gospel, the good news, is about the eternal life that God offers to us through his Son. And so in Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but that there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." They were saying the same thing, that something, you're supposed to get something good in this life. But Jesus said that we would suffer for his sake. "Even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Verse 7. So that's the rocky soil. Verse 7. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Here's his explanation, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Now, here he's talking about people who are chasing after success, money, the cares of this world. Because as we know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil, right? That's what it says. I mean, it does in a way. What it actually says is that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. You see, money is amoral. Money doesn't have morality one way or another. You know, there are very many wicked rich people. There are very many wicked poor people. Okay, money doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, money is an instrument. Money is like, if I take a brick, I can take a brick and I can smash a plate glass window and steal everything inside. Or I could take a brick and I can build a hospital for children and cure the sick. The brick has no morality. Money is the same way, right? So if you're rich, awesome. This is not about being wealthy or not. But if you're not wealthy, that doesn't